This is Marissa Tam, writer of number 102, The Harem. You're listening to The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
I can't resist a good bag of salted almonds either, Margo. Welcome to The Blacklist Exposed. I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson, and I am definitely over-caffeinated this morning. Thank you for joining us once again as we discuss number 102 on The Blacklist, The Harem, which aired January 19th, 2017. It was written by Marissa Tam and directed by Bill Rowe. Show notes and other intel for this episode of The Blacklist Exposed can be found at theblacklistexposed.com.
Quick note on Marissa, this was actually her first ever episodic television outing.
Was it really?
It was. So really good job for the first one out.
Congratulations. That was a fun one. Congratulations. Now, before we get started, not to start on a sad note, but last week we told you about our listener and awesome member of the Blacklist fandom, Lulu McClellan. It is with heavy hearts that we want to let you know that shortly after releasing the podcast, Lulu had passed on. Many of you know her, many of you may not, but she was always very, very active in the Blacklist community, absolutely loved the show and loved the podcast, except when she disagreed mostly with Troy. She once told me how much she loved when I called Troy a dum-dum, so obviously we know the lady had taste. And we just want to say to her friends and family, you have our absolute deepest sympathies and condolences, and we just wanted to take a moment of silence for Lulu. We'll miss you.
Last week, we asked you to answer the profiling question of the week, which was Dembe's decision an act of betrayal? And I picked on Aaron for last week because it was kind of a yes or no answer. And holy crap, did you guys come out in droves for this one?
Mm-hmm. Apparently, it only lasted 30 seconds in the actual show, but I thought it was a bigger deal than apparently it was. So here are the responses. Gene says, even though you know he's upset and mad at Red for what he did, I don't think that him going to Liz was an act of betrayal. More like he was trying to get some help from her for someone he considers a friend, regardless of how he feels about the man. All right. That's about how it worked out.
Totally. Tori said, I guess you could say that Dembe isn't loyal.
Yeah, you sure could.
I see what you did there.
I don't. What would you say? I don't get
Hashtag
it.
Dembe loyals.
Oh. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Daryl Washington, him going to Liz was not an act of betrayal to me. If Red is going to listen to anybody, it's Liz.
Terry said, I know he's trying to help Red, but Red may see it differently. Dembe broke a trust, not to say anything.
Yeah, apparently it's no big deal because Red's just like, I get it. Like, what? What do you mean you get it? I would have had like a brawl right there in the bar. Sharon said, yes, but he had no choice, just like Mr. Kaplan. Well, Mr. Kaplan kind of had a choice, but yeah. I get what you're saying.
Ben said, it would have been anyway for him. I think Dembe and Red are real close, so they consider themselves as some kind of family. Red is so possessed with Liz and her protection, besides the daddy question, that she is also some kind of quote-unquote family in a way. As for Dembe, he is out to take care of both because Liz is important to Red, and they have been through some tough crap. All three, Dembe feels obligated to tell her the truth. Otherwise, it would have torn him apart. In any case, Dembe will suffer. Let's hope that Red will understand it, if it comes out. As for Kate, I don't know if I want to see her again or not. I like her, but I don't want her to see her die again. I don't want to see her die again. Best regards from Germany.
Are you sure this time? They teach reading where you come from, right?
Well, you know, translation in the German to the English, so.
I gotcha. Okay. Andrew Jeeves, I can see it both ways. In one sense, you can see it as an act of concern to Red for the actions he has taken recently. However, on the other hand, that by revealing it to Liz, that he's unhinged and doing it for the greater good can be seen as a betrayal. So to be honest, the final answer is, I don't know.
That's always the answer when you get asked a question. I don't know.
You ain't got me. Huh? Retro.
Steve Wheeler said it was an act of both betrayal and concern.
That's kind of like riding the line, isn't it?
That's kind of like, I don't know.
Danielle, I think it depends on Lizzie's reaction to it. See, he saw Kate's as a betrayal because she tried to help keep Lizzie away from him and succeeded in him believing the person he loved most was dead. With Dembe, I think it hinges on if Lizzie was to walk away from Red completely, Red might see it as a betrayal. And although, to be honest, Lizzie can't seem to make up her mind. One minute she cares, the next she's ordering him out of her life. It's like high school.
Sometimes. Larry said he seems more concerned about Red.
I agree with that. I still say it's betrayal, but I've got a few more. Holy cow, there's a lot of responses on this one.
Yeah.
Guess I had a good question. What? Suzanne said, no, he's trying to save Red.
I think that's what he's trying to do, too. Remember the campfire scene? Jesus, mm-hmm. Red, let's go. Barbara said, no, I think he loves Red. This was way more of a concern. He loves Kate, too, and he's upset that he thinks she's dead, but I don't think he would betray Red.
Yeah, she's obviously not dead. I think she might have killed his accountant. What? Sharda said, just like Kate was concerned about Red and what she did in his best interest, he considers that betrayal. Same goes for Dembe, repeating what Kate did. See, yes, I say he's betraying Red. You just don't tell someone that someone killed someone else because you're worried about that person. Shake my head. That will get you shot. Snitches get stitches.
I love snitches get stitches. That's great. Heather said, no. He went to Liz. I think he's trying to save Red from himself.
Mm-hmm.
Possible.
Tina, sadly, yes. With the way Red thinks, that will be an act of betrayal, though probably not as bad as if you were to tell her about Red's secrets. Mm-hmm. That was spelled wrong, so it was secrets.
Got it. Annalise said, not sure I would call what Dembe did as a betrayal. Besides, this is not the first time for Dembe. He did it back in season 2, episode 19, Leonard Call, when he sent Liz to Red's flat.
I don't know if that's the same thing, but I get what you're saying.
Well, Liz was never supposed to see the flat, and he said, hey, Liz, Red's got a flat. It's kind of the same thing.
Sure. Okay, we'll go with that. But I think this was a little more serious. Like, yeah, whatever. Finally, Tiffany. Kate and Dembe went behind Red's back. Yes! What did Kate do? Aaron, learn to read. I can't mock Troy if I'm going to do the same thing.
That's exactly right.
What Kate did was to defy what Red wanted, and that was to stay in Liz's life. What Dembe is doing is trying to keep Red in it, because the state that he's in right now, he could make a mistake that could prove to be fatal. His head is not in the game, and Dembe is acting to make sure that he gets it back on track so things can move forward. He's also doing it out of concern for Red, which Kate did not show when she did what she did. She sat there and watched Red mourn Liz nearly to the point of suicide, while what Dembe is doing is trying to pull him back from the brink of despair that he seems to be in still.
That's
a good argument, I guess.
And he could be in despair given his situation at the end of the episode. Like, he has remorse for what happened to Kate. Otherwise, he wouldn't be looking out for Kate's sister. If you think about it that way, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks as always for the great responses. What question do we have going into next week?
Okay. And I want to remind everybody that there's actually a 2-week break before the next new episode. So there's no new episode next week, right?
That's what I'm understanding. I didn't watch the promo, so I can't say I don't know if they actually went, you know, in 2 weeks or whatever. So we'll have to. If it's on, it's on. We'll be here. And if it's not on, then, yeah, you won't see us next week.
I won't be, because next week I'm on vacation.
That's right.
Work, but I call it workation. The question this week is, who is trying to start a war with Red? I think I know, but do you think you know? Who is trying to start that war?
We'll get into that and more, but before someone discovers my name on the WITSEC list, let's get this week's case profile going.
I'm just letting you know, if you were on it, I would rat you out. Snitches get stitches. The harem is the ladies' leverage club, is what I like to call it. If you ever watch that show, which I love, by the way, I love Leverage. It's kind of similar. You've got a bunch of, you've got a hacker, a grifter, and the muscle and all that stuff. Basically trying to steal from criminals, which is what Leverage was all about. If you've never seen that show, go watch it. It's on Netflix. I love it.
It's really good. I haven't watched it. I've just listened to every episode because my wife watches it when she sleeps in bed.
Oh, man. It's because they took Psych off Netflix, which was my happy show. That was my happy go-to show. I always watched it when I was getting ready to go to bed or having a bad day. Took it off Netflix. Leverage comes on. Leverage is now that happy show. So
there you go.
So it hits me in that certain special spot because it really fills that void since Leverage is off the air.
Your tummy is that special spot.
Sure. Yeah. My tummy. This harem is run by Crossing Jordan herself, Jill Hennessy, who goes by Margot Roche. And can I just say how odd it was, or I don't know if it was nostalgic or what, but to see that Miguel Ferrer passed away this week.
And then
you see Crossing Jordan, like he was on Crossing Jordan with Jill Hennessy. It's like the same week, like, whoa, this has got to be some kind of weird coincidence, but man. She plays Margot Roche, and she's in charge of the Ladies Leverage Club, or the harem. The ladies are after this WITSEC list, which is witness protection. These are people that are in witness protection. Troy, why don't you explain what this means? What is a WITSEC?
It's basically the list of all of the people that have actually gone into witness protection for ratting out people to help out the government. And if you're on that list, it's a way that the government can find you so they can make sure that you're still safe and provide benefits and things of that nature, because you literally have been reprogrammed. Like, for example, one Naomi from season 2 would have been in that situation. So Naomi's name is probably on that WITSEC list too. So literally it's literally a way for the government to protect all of the people that are informants for them. And we find out later why this WITSEC list was so important to Red. So it tied up into the episode nicely, since Red was kind of on his own quest again this week, separate from Liz.
Yeah, and the FBI need to get to it first before it gets out there, because they obviously don't want everybody that's snitching to get killed.
Right.
Even though, as we know, snitches get stitches.
That one guy did. They got whacked before they got the list.
He sure did. So they decide to put Liz undercover as a profiler, which, you know, that works, because she is one.
Yep.
Which, when you look at it, is really a grifter to a degree, because you're learning how to read people and con them.
Almost kind of like one Tom Keene, maybe.
Maybe.
These two must be meant for each other after all.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Whatever is he going to do when he's running off and doing his own show? We'll find out soon. I think that's coming. When is that? It's like
February April. 23rd.
Wow, is that soon?
Yeah. Okay. I just saw a really kick butt promo for it this morning. It actually looks really, really good.
Does it?
It does. It
How's
really
Fomka
does.
Look?
Fomka's great, as always, but the comedy between Eddie Gathegi and Ryan Eggold is just phenomenal.
I'm really looking forward to that. And I got to tell you, I saw some promo shots of Fomka and Ryan together. And all I kept thinking was, they look like more of a couple than mom and son.
There's a scene of that in the trailer, too. And you're kind of like, huh?
What?
But I remember at this point, she still doesn't know. So
She doesn't know. So I'm looking forward to that. We'll see where that show goes. Okay, back on the blacklist. In order to get Margot to buy in, the FBI needs one of Margot's old associates, Craig, if you're a Friday fan, to vouch. Of course, this gets Craig killed because one of the harem has an in, and they find out that apparently no one is too bothered that we lost a snitch because of all this.
Nope.
What do you think about this? Poor Craig. Yeah, I'm going to say it like that every time I say it. Poor Craig is a shot. I mean, he's trying to help get his brother out of the pokey, and he gets shot.
Well, you know, like I said, snitches get stitches, and it's and one thing that was like the real.
That's not a stitch. That's a whole gaping hole.
It's a patch. He's a pirate.
I don't think you can't duct tape that up.
No, but I think the big theme for this episode was loyalty, and in this case, Craig did everything he could to He went against Margot. I mean, at the end of the day, Margot was very much about loyalty, which is very much what Red's all about. When we get to Red and Emma and some of the other characters, but yeah, it's 100% like in this situation, you got to blow them out. I mean, I think Red would have done the same thing if that was Red. I think Red and Margot are more alike in a lot of ways than we think.
I liked Margot. I liked this whole crew. I thought they were cool. I especially loved the not to jump ahead, but. When they're negotiating the diamonds for the information or whatever, and you've got Emma and, what was her name? Jessica hanging out in the warehouse, just chilling.
I just love
that scene. I thought that was just a cool scene.
Yeah, it's so fun.
So we get, here's our players. We've got Margo. We've got Sasha Lau as the planner of the crew. Jessica Paya, she kind of blends in. She's also a grifter, I believe. And Emma is an MI6 analyst, red-plucked and made feel a little special. We're going to talk a little bit more about her when we get to characters, because she left her life, her marriage, and her child for Red's plans. But so hold that thought, okay? We're going to talk about Emma here soon.
Sounds like somebody familiar.
It does. I wonder who that could be.
Mm.
Yeah, and also, you need to let her go. How many people need to say that before he starts going, you know what? I should probably write this down. Need to let her go. Got it. So it really kind of dug the, you know, this whole plot line. It was very much a heist team and a little bit of Ocean's 11, which I like when the show does that. It does it every once in a while.
Well, all sewn up from David Holmes, that first song in the opening of the show was actually from Ocean's 13.
Mm-hmm. Well, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you did some research.
I did. Because I knew you were going to like this episode because it had that heist feel to it.
Yeah, I was just, I did. I love heist stuff, man. Just, if I could watch any show where all they do is rob people, I'm a happy guy, which is probably why I like Leverage so much.
There's another plug. I'm gonna charge you a dollar every time you say Leverage this episode.
You should, 100%. So really dug the strip club scene and how it played out. And the reason for that is I thought for sure when Liz said, I know how to play this, it was going to be like a Charlie's Angels moment where we cut to Liz swinging around a pole, you know, and skimpy wear. And I'm like, oh, don't do that. Not that I wouldn't want to see it, obviously. But I just thought that would be really cheesy. And instead, it was a really smooth double cross. And I still got Liz swinging around the pole, but doing it classy.
Exactly right.
So I like that. I was a big fan of that.
Now we get some alone time.
I'm sorry.
It was a great line.
I really liked her going undercover. I got to tell you, the glasses, that was, It was nice when they get her out and let her show how beautiful Megan is. Because a lot of times, you know, she's in all these dire situations. And I know it's simplistic and it's totally a cliche that I'm like, oh, she's so pretty. But she was so pretty. So I was all about it. And quiet, so I just made it awkward. I'm sorry.
I'm just letting you like revel in your moment.
Yeah.
But no, I absolutely love 100% Liz being in this kind of undercover situation. It shows that her role as a profiler can go beyond just sitting down and questioning people.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the sense of, I guess, fear and ability to potentially get killed just adds that amplified situation because she is our lead actress on the show. And even though you know she's never really going to be in danger because she's the lead actress, but then again, they did kill her last year. So you never know what's going to happen. And I actually kind of felt scared for Liz for a minute when she's like, you're not leaving here until we find out what's up. And I was like, oh, snap.
I totally thought she was going to make out with Margo, by the way.
I really thought they were going to go there for a minute. I really did. I was kind of like, where is this going? This is interesting.
Is that how you looked at it? Because I was kind of like, well, where's this going?
No, because remember we had the interview with Megan and she was like, I've never been in that situation where I had to play a character of a, you know, what am I thinking? A character that's bisexual or a character that's or lesbian or whatever. You know, she mentioned that in her interview that she's never played that character before. So when mm-hmm. that scene came up, I immediately went back to that interview and I was like, oh, snap. They like wrote it in for her. That's kind of interesting.
It was an interesting moment. And Emma's like, you better back off.
Run along, great. Little girl.
Yeah, I really like how the scene played out. And I know I was acting like just a total dude there for a minute, but I really did appreciate that they didn't go the Charlie's Angels route and make it just cheap and gimmicky. It was actually a thought out heist. Like the women in this episode are smart and lethal, just like any guy heist team, which I appreciate it because I really get tired of it's all about the sexuality. You know, they actually use their smarts to win, and I really appreciated that.
Well, except for Jessica, because she's cray cray.
She's a little, well, you always got to have a loose cannon, man.
You do.
Always got to have a loose cannon.
You do.
So we end up exchanging diamonds for intel that leads us to Hong Kong, where the WITSEC list is, and we get a heist in a fancy mansion where the security all leads back to a chip and a guy named Jack Heldridge's hand. And of course, Emma betrays him to get the list to Red first. Now,
well,
one thing.
I don't know if she was getting the list to Red. She wanted the list so that she could sell it to make money to go on the run to get out from under Red. Red found her first and got the list from her. But she didn't.
I don't think it's how it played out, is it?
I think so. I mean, that's.
I don't think so. I think she got it to get to Red first. That's the whole reason why he wanted Liz to help.
The conversation that Red has with her, though, by the tree, he says, like, I can't let you sell the list, is what he says. So it makes it sound like she was actually going to sell the list to the highest bidder in order to get out from under Red. And that's when Red was like, all you have to do is ask.
All right. Maybe I read that scene wrong. I guess because I was so involved in the moment. But either way, Red got the list.
I thought the way you thought it the first time I watched it, but then the second time is when I'm like, oh, maybe she was actually going to betray Red and take it for herself. So
I was probably just still stuck on the when Liz starts yelling Margo and I started yelling Polo back at the TV. So that's probably what I was confused by.
No, that's another show. That's another totally show on Netflix. That.
I did totally do that, by the way.
Margo.
She's like, Margo. I'm like, Polo? Polo. All right, let's get into our characters from this week's show.
Okay, our music is always up first. We are introduced to the harem as they steal a Cadillac full of diamonds to the music stylings of David Holmes and All Sewn Up, which I mentioned is in Ocean's 13. Then as Zach arrives at Red's laundering house, we get our groove on to some Eddie Rabbit and I Love a Rainy Night. I actually just said that like it sings in the song, syllable-wise.
You did. Nice job. Did. Why don't you take it for a few bars? I Love a Rainy Night.
Liz takes a trip to the strip club, Skin City by Sean Lee. I like this. Skin City strip club, sewn up. They, you know, take out the sewing stitches in the Cadillac. I like the kind of pun here, the situation that they're doing. That's nice. Skin City by Sean Lee can be heard playing during the diamond gawking. And while the harem celebrates their victory, Those Were the Days from Mark Ferrari and Paul Taylor is heard. And as the ladies plan their heist on Heldrich, we hear Chris Jones's Tune Down. And then when Margot walks through the plan, we hear Tobacco Strut from the Bamboos. And Aaron Wright finishes us off with the episode, with his song Twisted, as Red gives Liz the Witsec list as they discuss the fate of Kate. I mean, Mr. Kaplan.
There's a lot of songs this episode.
Yeah, it's quite a few.
People don't realize, I mean, they got to pay out for every license. That's some cash right there. Well,
a lot of these were just like club music or background music kind of thing. It wasn't actually a song. So really, if you're looking for the actual two songs, then you're looking at Eddie Rabbit, obviously, the I Love a Rainy Night, and then Aaron Wright's Twisted are your lyrical pieces.
Ones. Yeah. The big ones.
Well, and gotcha. I suppose in David Holmes is All Sewn Up, too, is pretty big. So there's your standard three.
Yep. Good deal. All right, well, let's go into the other characters. Zach Small is Red's accountant. We meet him, short-lived, because he has a heart attack, which no one believes is actually a heart attack.
No.
Were you kind of bummed that this guy was already killed off?
Not at all. I actually really liked Abe better. I mean, I know
you like Abe better?
Nobody likes listening to Abe's stories. No offense, Abe. But I actually thought Abe was actually kind of a more interesting character. He had that quirky aromness to him, you know?
He's talking about the food from the airport. I thought that was pretty interesting. Yeah. That's funny. As somebody who used to travel all the time, I can understand those tales.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you like Abe better. Are you glad that they didn't kill Abe off then?
I absolutely am glad they didn't kill Abe off. I want to hear... I feel Abe can be like the next Glenn.
Ooh, how about we just bring Glenn back? I haven't seen Glenn in a while.
I'm sure he's coming this season. Don't worry.
He's got to be around.
He'll be there.
Right? He's got to be. Well, we didn't get much from him, but we're going to talk more about his death when we get to Red, so I'll hold that thought. Now, we have Cooper, Samar, and Aram, which they have almost little to nothing to do this week except just get us to the next scene. Would you agree, or is there anything you want to mention?
No, they're pretty much just working the post office like they do. So it was interesting to see that you had Samar and Wrestler doing the stakeout portion. I kind of thought that was cool, the over-the-shoulder shot at the bar. And then there was that weird line with Wrestler and Samar in the car where he said I wish we had eyes in there. And did you even need that scene, or was it literally just a scene to kind of break up the conversation so you could cut away to something?
I think so.
Yeah.
Like, we got these guys on the payroll. Let's throw them a bone. So yeah, we didn't get much from them this week. They've had a lot the last few weeks. So, you know, that's understandable.
Yeah. It was good to get back to just Red and Liz for a change.
Yeah. Carter Wilson pops up. Apparently, Red is preparing to send all of his money to Wilson Cruise Lines, who apparently desperately need the funds, only to have his money disappear and another criminal outlet takes his place. What is so special about having a cruise line in his pocket, do you think?
Well, that goes back to all of the ports that he was trying to collect back in late season one, early season two, because now that if he controls the port and he controls the ship, then nobody knows what he's doing.
Right, but what do you think he's doing?
Oh, he's just trafficking crap around the world. It doesn't matter. It could be, like you said, it could be guns, could be tulip bulbs. Doesn't matter what it is. He's just, he wants control of being able to move money, move industry, move goods through his criminal empire.
I think there's something at play here that we don't know of yet. I think it's going to come later this season. That's what I think.
Oh, you think it's like a bigger thing? Like,
I think
like,
so,
like the whole 2017
yeah.
I mean, war is coming kind of thing?
It was like a whole subplot, man. Yeah, I think it's going to be important for down the road. He needs those ships for something. I don't know what it is yet, but I think he needs it specifically for something that we're going to find out about on the show.
Well, then I'm actually interested to see if you were right, because I just thought it was subplot going back to other points in the show to, hey, remember those ports they had? Yeah, now he got a ship too.
It could be, but it was too big of a moment. And then, you know, when he found out he knew the guy, well, was it Balder Magnuson or something like that? Whatever his name was.
Yeah, isn't it a coincidence that guy's name came up? So apparently that guy is somebody they know.
Mm-hmm.
And the question now becomes, is it really that guy or someone taking the name of that guy?
Yeah, because they didn't really say if he knew him or not. He just, the name clicked with him for a reason.
Right.
We just don't know the reason yet.
Click with Dembe, and then Red was like, oh yeah, crap.
Hmm.
I always love when things don't go his way. Do you ever notice that with Red? Like, things don't go his way, and he's like, good day, I'm done.
It's like, I'm pissed. I gotta get out of here before I shoot you, Carter. Let's go. Emma, let's move to Emma then. Now, this was an interesting character because we find out through the course of the episode that she's actually undercover for Red. Now, the details that she tells Liz were almost 8 years. She was working on low-level immigration cases when Red cut a deal with MI6, and she left to work for him full-time because she was starstruck. He made her feel like she was the center of his universe. And then, you know, Liz says, you know, you can get out or whatever. And she says, spoken like someone who's still in the honeymoon phase. Now, what do you think about Emma?
I was first thinking, like, the shippers are all like, oh, see? Like, Red picks up people that he's got an infatuation with, or they makes them feel like they have an infatuation with him. And I thought that was kind of interesting as she was having that conversation about the starstruck and center of the universe kind of thing. Because it goes back to what you and I have always said, you know, from the beginning was, remember, Red's a criminal. Could she just be using, you know, Liz this entire time? And really, she's not. There is no relationship. There is nothing important between the two of them. It is what it is. And it almost kind of felt like they were hinting at that with this Emma character and her relationship with Red throughout the course of this episode. So, yeah, Emma was an interesting person to see come up at this point in the show. Like, it almost felt like we were getting an answer or an uncovering of something, but subtly in the background.
How so?
Well, just with the whole, like, he came and found me, right? He found me and then I was starstruck.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it made it that line makes it completely sound as if Red is just finding people he needs at that moment. And they are the ones that get sucked in. Like, and then we get to the end of the episode and Red's like, yeah, you could have left at any time. Just let me know.
But do you think he just doesn't realize that, hey, people are afraid to ask to leave because they think you'll kill them? You kind of have a reputation for killing people.
He has a reputation for killing people that do things behind his back. No one's ever asked him. So this is the first time someone's actually asked him. And he's like, yeah, sure. Here's some money. You'll get some cash in there every week. And thanks for your business. Thanks for your service.
Yeah. I get where Emma's coming from.
She was loyal
I wouldn't ask
end.
Either. I wouldn't have asked either. I'd be like, man, he's going to shoot me if I ask. I'm just going to do whatever he wants. That's fine.
But I guess now it depends on how you take that final scene. If it is the way it went down, like I said, where she was truly going to sell that Witsec list, at least she was willing to trade it for her freedom in that case. So the question becomes, would she really have gotten out? And so in this case, the only reason she got out was because she had something Red needed. And because Red needed it, that's why he made the deal to let her go.
I think he already had it in his possession before he, you know, so he could have still used her if he wanted to. He let her go. He just let her go.
Okay, so you think he was a good guy? She asked and he said, yep, no problem.
I don't think Red is a good guy at all. Like,
well, in this situation, I mean. Like, he was doing the right thing.
As right as he could do, yeah. Yep.
See, I look at it the other way. I don't think, A, I don't think he had the list. I think she had the list. B, I think the only reason she got out from under him is because of the trade.
You see it how you see it, son.
I know.
There you go. Whatever. However you take it, he still ends up with the list. That's what matters.
Exactly right.
That's really what matters. Because if that really mattered more, I'd probably just say, let's pause this and let's go watch it again and figure it out for sure. But, you know, we always debate this. This is just how it is. I'm still stuck on Marco Polo. That's really what the problem is. But I did like Emma. I hope Well, obviously, I don't think she'll be coming back, but I thought she was an interesting character. I'd kind of like to see her. Now, they're obviously trying to draw a comparison, or it seems, to Liz and her predicament. But Liz's character seems, it's a much deeper connection than he had with Emma.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because you have the whole backstory with Kirk and Katerina, and Katerina's your mom, and for sure. Absolutely. But there's got to be some truth in these conversations. Otherwise, why write it into the show?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, Red sets her up for life. He says, you know, basically, you're going to be taken care of for life. There's a little cabin. Here's some money. You'll be good. Although, I don't know if he can still give him the money because he doesn't have an accountant anymore.
Right.
But I guess Abe's going to have to fill in for Zach. But she also says, as he leaves, you need to let her go.
Heard that before.
Yeah. At some point, maybe. Do you think he should start writing this down, like I said earlier?
I mean, we all heard it for so long. I mean, gosh, go watch Frozen another time. Shoot my eyes out.
God, that was such a dad joke. All right. Now let's move on to Dembe. Apparently, he gets a pass for writing on Red. That was the easiest thing. I really expected it to be a bigger deal. And it's like, yeah, I get it. I understand why you had to betray me like that. It's cool.
I was waiting for a Staples commercial after that episode ended.
What?
Yeah, that was easy.
Oh, wow. You're just full of them this week, aren't you?
I am.
You are a dum-dum. Okay. Were you disappointed or surprised that it went that easy? Because I really thought it would amount to a lot more than it was.
I don't know. See, I don't know how to take it right now because she's like, is it like you killed Mr. Kaplan? And he kind of like shoots the look over at Dembe. And it's like, oh, crap. He is so not going to be going through the rest of this episode. And then Dembe comes like red. I'm sorry. Like whining towards him almost. Mm-hmm. And Red's like, I understand. And I think that's because Red truly does have remorse for killing Kate. Mm-hmm. He had to do it. It's like we talked about that when it happened in 402. He had to do it because that is exactly what he needs. He needs loyalty and he has to demand loyalty. And if he makes an exception, he shows up as weak. But he didn't want to do it. And I think this is our inkling into he absolutely does feel remorse for the first time. That's why he wants to take care of Kate's sister. I mean, Mr. Kaplan's sister. Because of that, I think that's why he lets Dembe off with the pardon. He understands that Dembe's been suffering. He's been suffering. They empathize with each other. And therefore, it's like, I get it. I understand what you did.
Mm-hmm.
So did I really want to have a bigger conversation at least? I absolutely was hoping for at least a bigger conversation with the same ending.
Well, yeah, I wanted that ending. I just wanted more of a confrontation.
Yeah, like, I understand why you did it, but don't ever do it again kind of thing.
Yeah, I thought it was a little too easy, honestly. That's my opinion. I thought it was a little too easy based on what happened. I mean, that's a big revelation. That could directly affect your relationship forever with Kate. And, of course, you know, at least she didn't say, hey, I'm not talking to you. I'm not dealing with you at all. You know, she just kind of, hey, that doesn't excuse what you did. And then she moves on. So I don't know. But Dembe's reaction, or Dembe's conversation with him, I just thought was too easy. But I do, we always talk about, you know, it's so glad that they handle stuff quickly. I'm glad they resolved it the next episode. I think it earned a bigger conversation than it was, I think.
Oh, yeah, because it was the end of the episode last week. So anything that's the end of the episode is a big moment. Mm-hmm. And so it feels like it needs a big finale to that moment. But I'm glad we got an answer right away, too.
Yeah, I felt like the moment kind of was fizzled a little. But, hey, can't always. Maybe that's the way it should have played out. Maybe I was hoping for some fireworks. Maybe I wanted fisticuffs between Red and Dembe. I wanted to fight it out in the middle of a coffee shop. Maybe that's what I wanted.
Well, and because of their relationship, right? With the whole, you know, praying at the box and, you know, getting him out of slavery. And, I'm the father figure, worst case, you know, blood brothers in this case. And you would assume there'd be more fireworks than just unless he was just in, he got him right in that moment, right? He's a little bit clumped about Kate because of saving the sister and the Witsec list is safe. And he just, you know, Red had a moment at that time. And Dembe just got an apology literally in at the exact right spot.
It just felt too casual. I mean, it was almost like a fist bump. Oh, we're good. And then fist bump with fireworks or something, you know, just like, come on. It'd be a little bit more explosive than that, but what are you going to do? All right, so moving on, we go to Wrestler. Now, he didn't get a whole lot to do as, you know, the other guys on the task force. He mostly just sits on a bench, but he is back to caring about his Liz.
Yeah, I felt
which
like
I did like.
Yeah, I felt like they were more partners again. Mm-hmm. And even though that Samar was with Wrestler in the car because Liz was undercover, it was really just an extra agent that hang out with Liz's partner. So that Liz Red partnership, or Liz Red partnership, yeah, that's back too. The Liz Wrestler partnership, I think, is definitely alive and well.
Yeah, very much so. So that's all we get for Wrestler. Now we're on to the big two, which there was a lot with these two, I think. Red, his Bitcoin transfer never happened. Lost his deal with Carter Wilson. Now, this is a big subplot. Throughout the episode, getting this cruise line. That was really what Red had to do the most this episode and get the WITSEC list. Red finds out that his accountant had a quote-unquote heart attack, but he doesn't believe it was a heart attack, and someone wants to start a war. Now, my question to you, my friend, is there any doubt that it's Kaplan at this point?
My question to you is, do we want it to be Kaplan or do we want it to be somebody else? Because the first name that comes into your mind is Kaplan. It's the easy answer.
I want it to be Kaplan. I said that like long ago. I think Kaplan should be trying to gun for Red. Now, I don't know if she's gunning for attention, like to get his attention so he pays attention to her and is forced to have a sit down or something. Or if she's just like, all right, now I'm recovered and I'm pissed, which I kind of am hoping for the latter. I would like her to be the villain at this point.
But because it's so
not really a villain, though, but
I hate to say cliche, right? Because that's how cliches become cliches. But
usually, yeah.
But I almost want this Balder Magnuson to be a real person. And I want Kaplan to be the one that comes in to help save the day and save Red, because then Red has to take her back. Because having Kate
I don't, that's the cliche. That's the cliche.
You think?
I would rather her be the person that's going to, she has a reason for vengeance now. You know, even if she understands his motives, I would still say, you shot me in the face. We're going to go to town. This isn't going to be an easy family repair.
Yeah, see, I don't know how to take it, because when they were standing there in that field, is this where you're going to do it? Like, she understood that like death was coming. And then she thought mm-hmm. for a moment that Red was going to give her a reprieve, and then it wasn't. And the whole time she was talking to the tracker in the woods, you know, the conversation kept making it seem like he had to do it. It's something they had to do. He's not a bad man. And so that's why if Kaplan is the one going to war, either A, there's some purpose behind it. It's not just to get back at Red. Kaplan going to war to get back at Red seems, I hate to say the word, lazy, right? There has to be a deeper meaning for it. If it is Kaplan that is going to war, there's a reason for the war, and it sets up another thread, another story arc for 8 episodes kind of thing. Or
yeah, I agree with that. I do think that would be more in line.
Yeah, or it's somebody's actually at war with Red, and then Kaplan comes in, and that's how they rectify. But I think that Kaplan just getting back at Red storyline would be something I do not want to see.
Okay, well, I do. Let me tell you why. You and I, we're good friends. We hang out. You know, even though you're a dum-dum most of the time, we still hang out. We have a good time. Now, if you shoot me in the face, and even if I understand why you shot me in the face, eventually, once I get to a mirror and I see that big gaping hole in my cheek, I'm going to be like, boy, Troy's life is going to suck for a while. And I'm going to make sure it sucks and he knows why it should suck.
But then
that's kind of where I'm coming from.
But then you're going to look to the right of that mirror. You're going to look to that right of the mirror and see the awesome Christmas present I got you. And you're going to be like, oh, well, yeah, he does mean well.
No, I'm still going to see the hole, because I'll see the present through the hole in my cheek. You know what I'm saying? And that would be enough for me to go, there's a hole in my cheek and it's your fault. I'm not cool with that. And I imagine she's going to have some problems eating and stuff too. So, you know, there's a reason for revenge.
You could chew on the left side of your mouth.
I'm just saying, she looks like a Bond villain now. So comes a time
she looks
when
like a Bond villain,
that.
So make her a Bond villain.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Get her in. She's got to have a henchman with some, you know, big teeth, a grill on their teeth. You know, yeah, absolutely. Make Kaplan a Bond villain. Let's go crazy. Let's get nuts. Oh, I would love to see it. But do I think they're going that way? I don't know. When they mentioned Balder Magnuson and whatever that character's name is, it seemed like they were reflective. Like, they understand exactly who it was, because as soon as that happens, Red was like, okay, I'm out. You know, he didn't ask for any further information. To me, that indicates that he knows who that is.
Yeah, or it's an alias.
Yeah, and I don't even know if those two are connected just yet. I don't know if the cruise line, because someone interfered and got there first, I don't know if they're necessarily connected. It would seem that way, but not necessarily, because someone found a way to take Red's money. Now, it could be just to get his attention, not necessarily to start a war, but we don't know yet.
Because those are two separate events. You could tie them together if you wanted to, mm-hmm. but the cruise line being saved was because Red's money didn't get there.
Right.
And we found out that Red's money really wasn't stolen. It was just sitting in an account that nobody can access except for the guy who had a heart attack.
Correct.
Quote unquote killed.
And I'm sure whoever, most likely, whoever got that information knows where that account is.
I would think so too. But yeah, it was definitely something that you could say was the stoppage of Red's money could have helped facilitate this Boulder Madison?
Something like that. Boulder. Yeah, one of those.
It would help Boulder be able to get the information that they need in order to purchase the cruise line.
Now, there is a possibility, an outside possibility, you could see it this way, is that maybe Kate is actually doing it for Red's benefit. She found that Zach was actually going to double-cross Red to, you know, and help this Boulder Magnuson or whatever, and that's why she would have him killed.
But that's the same thought process she had with Liz that got her shot in the first place.
I'm just saying it's possible. Maybe she found out that Zach was going to double cross Red, so she killed him to save his money. We just don't know that yet. That's a possible scenario. I'm just going to your idea.
Put it on the board.
She doesn't have her. Yeah, put it on the board. Exactly. We surveyed 100 families, and what they found was that. So, yeah, we'll go with that. We'll see what happens.
Red. So, Kate kills Red. Number one answer.
I don't think. Well. That could be an interesting end to the show. You know, Liz doesn't kill Red, but because I do think there's a possibility Red dies in the series whenever the series ends.
Liz is Reddington's undoing. Kate kills Red, and Kate's the one that knew the answer all along. So we actually get the answer from Kate. That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Red did all this to get this list because Kaplan's sister is on it, Maureen Rohan and Rohan, whatever. And she's
from Wisconsin. Woohoo!
Easy killer. So that was a nice little twist. Pretty coincidental that, you know, this Kate is a criminal, master criminal, and also her sister managed to witness some Russians trying to get rid of a body, but whatever, works out. And did you buy into the sympathetic vote for this, or were you like, well, I guess it's a last ditch effort on Red's part because he feels guilty?
No, I bought in the sympathetic vote only because he handed over the Witsec list without a problem. Mm-hmm. So you knew at that point he was truly doing it because he wanted to protect Maureen, which he's protecting Maureen because of killing Kate. Like, it's the least I can do for taking out her sister.
Yeah.
Or thinking I took out her sister. Because she died.
Yeah, we haven't seen her in, this is what, 3 episodes now since the last time we saw
Kaplan?
It was the break, right? Before Correct. The break that we saw her.
Getting into that truck.
Mm-hmm. Never, that truck had to go somewhere.
Never hitchhike people. It never turns out well.
Bet you it led to Zach's house, where she took him out.
Zach could have been in the truck.
Yeah. I mean, he did drive a crappy station wagon. Maybe he drives a crappy truck, too.
Yeah.
Too bad. All right. So, Liz, we're moving on to Liz now. I love Liz's entrance with Zach when she announces herself and she tells everybody basically everything. Yeah, I'm the FBI, and, you know, he's going to have no qualms with killing you guys. Just saying.
So is it sad that we've watched the show so much now that the first thing I thought of was like, man, she's kind of spunky today. And then Red goes, someone's a little over-caffeinated this morning. Like they're writing the things we're thinking in our heads is what the responses would be. So we clearly watch way too much Blacklist.
I liked it, man. I thought that was great.
It's a fun exchange.
Because mm-hmm. she's just like, she's pissed off. She just found out about Kaplan and she's just not going to play in his favor anymore. You know, she's tired of it. Liz was totally going to make out with Margo. I already talked about that. And how did you enjoy Liz finally putting those profile skills to use? I know we talked about it a little bit, but the last few episodes, you know, and I know Megan talked about when we interviewed her before the season started, that she was really looking forward to playing that deeper. And it looks like the last few episodes, they've really put the profile skills to use.
Yeah, it's her superpowers, so they have to make sure they go back to that. And I love it. I really love seeing the mentalness that you get into a person and how they can transform to fit that.
The mentalness?
The mental capability, you know, their mental state.
I don't think mentalness is a word.
It's not, but I couldn't think of anything. It's early. Long week.
Supercalifragilistic, you know?
That's whatever. A word.
Let's just make stuff up. It sure. is now.
Yeah. But yeah, the ability to see her transform and morph and change, it almost makes me feel, like I said, she's Tom in a lot of ways with this ability this week. And it kind of scares me a little bit that she has that Tom Keen capability within her, that it'd be interesting to know a little bit more now about her upbringing as well. Now, granted, she wasn't at St. Regis with Tom because it was, I think it was a boys' school specifically, if I remember what Daniel had said in his interview. But that ability for her to be able to do this and bend and the profiling thing she has, things like this come up. It makes you wonder how serial killers come to be, how narcissistic people come to be. And she has a kind of a dark side to her because of that. And it really blends that line between, is she the good agent or is she like Reddington based on the fact that she was on the lam and all of that stuff? So her character is so much more interesting after this episode because you want to know background. You want to know, is she capable of these things? How far would she go? So this is a really great character opening episode for her.
Well, I just want to point out, my mom was in psychology for 30 years, so I don't wonder where serial killers come from. I get it. But I'll be happy to explain that to you if you got time, you know. And watch your puppies, just saying. Mm-hmm. So, if you have little kids. But I like where her character is going. I like when they expand on it and they let her do her thing. It is her superpower. And it is something that I enjoy when they get to implement it into an episode. And I just like seeing her go undercover. You know, so often with the show, there are a lot of characters and there's been a lot of subplots where it kind of takes away from Liz and she doesn't get the focus. And here she gets to, because she's an agent again, she gets to go back in the field. I just thought it was a fun episode. The last couple haven't been too really heavy on the mythology, which I like, because when you've got the 22 episodes like we've talked about, you need that break where it's just episode of the week, you know, and just villain of the week, that sort of thing. And even though I don't know if this is, you know, a typical blacklister, it's not really one of the dark blacklisters. It's just more of a crew of thieves. It was a really interesting and fun episode, and that's, you know, that's a nice break from the heavy mythology.
Oh, and this week it was finally a blacklister too that Red is aware of, and says, mm-hmm. They were trying to do something and they got there first, so at least this takes the harem off the board for him too. So we're kind of back to that original MO, which also helps the situation.
And I also really want to point out again how much I like that you have a crew of lady thieves where it's not tons of sex that get them to accomplish their goal, because that's been done so many times. It's exhausting to me. And I really enjoyed this episode. I thought it played out pretty nice. Mm-hmm. Now we get the end where Liz calls out Red for killing Kaplan.
Bold statement, by the way. I didn't think we would see that quickly. We thought that they would.
Do you feel like she kind of like threw Dembe under the bus a little bit?
Yeah, kind of. Like almost like she was still playing her harem character. Like I'm just going to be loud and proud and out there. And bam, it was like, wow, didn't see that coming that quickly. And I kind of sat back in my chair and I was like, where is this going to go? Because that's not what I was expecting.
It played out and I'm just like, did somebody get the license plate off that bus? Because Dembe just got run over. I thought that was a pretty bold moment. I don't know if that was the right way she should have played it, but...
But it is exactly how she feels over the course mm-hmm. of these seasons. It's exactly, I do this, I look the other way. It kind of started out the episode that way. I'm here, but I'm going to look the other way as long as you guys don't do anything illegal while I'm here. Mm-hmm. And it seems like that's kind of eating her up inside a little bit. So the question now is, how does she feel after this sad story about Maureen? Is she going to still work with Red? Is she still going to do what she does? Or does she see a different side of Red because of this? Because he was willing to give up the list. We don't know if he made a copy, by the way.
I would have, wouldn't you?
I totally would have.
Yeah. There's no way. Yeah. A couple flash drives, man. Somebody's getting some copies of that.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a very, good point. Very interesting scene.
That's a very good point that it shows how all the stuff is eating her up. Now, she's obviously going to work with him because she has to. I think she's not going to jeopardize her badge again. I think that would honestly be a mistake on the show's part if they did that, if she jeopardized her badge again, so especially so soon. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, she's always wanted it back. She has her life back. She has everything she wants. And there's no reason to jeopardize that, even for Red. There's no reason to do that. So I really am glad that she's holding to that as a character. And also, can I just point out, no baby, no Tom Keen this week.
True.
I know some people are like, well, let's not have the baby in every episode. There you go. Got one without it. And also, Tom's probably, you know, getting in shape for the spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
You don't sound as thrilled as I thought you'd sound.
That's a really good trailer. But I know you don't
really like it, huh?
You don't want to see it though, because you don't watch promos and stuff.
I try not to, but I will watch that one at some point. You know, because I'm a huge FOMCA fan, so you know I'm gonna.
Oh, I know you're gonna watch the show. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm kind of curious now. I saw the promo shots, and seeing those two together was like I said, it was a little off putting. I'm like, they totally look like a couple. I mean, they even look like they're giving googly eyes in one picture. So I don't know. But then again, it's probably because I see FOMCA as like, row. And so I'm just looking at her that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably, you're making it seem like I'm making you uncomfortable right now. So I'll just be quiet.
No, we all love FOMCA. She's great. I'm actually going to miss her character on How to Get Away with Murder because she's going over to do the spinoff. She was fun to watch her back and forth with Viola Davis on that show. It was really fantastic.
And I've watched one episode of that show.
Oh, it's a good show. It is. You just gotta like the jumping around, time jumping storytelling. If you don't like that, you'll hate the show completely because that's all it is.
I've heard it's a good show. It just didn't work for me for whenever I watched it.
There's just TV shows that don't work for you.
There are some. Yes, Troy. Yes, there are some shows. I don't like them all.
Well, anything else you got on this episode, or should we put a bow on this one?
No, I think it's done. I mean, it was really a criminal of the week kind of episode. It was a blacklister of the week, and it was fun. I like this one and last one, which I love last week's. I like this one. I'm looking forward to the next one. I think I think Marissa did a great job, so I'm looking forward to the next episode she gets a chance to write, and we'll see where we go with this whole mysterious war storyline, which I think is setting up the rest of the season.
Yeah, next week's episode is written by another first-timer.
Ooh. Yeah. So, well, not next week's, possibly 2 weeks.
Possibly 2 weeks, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You guys check your schedules, because I'm kind of confused. I thought next week there wasn't an episode.
You know how Taylor Martin wrote Lady Ambrosia last year was her first one, so this one's coming from John Eisendrath's assistant, Noah. It's going to be great.
Mm. That'd be interesting. And then, I'm glad that they're giving them chances, by the way. That's fantastic.
It absolutely is. And then Taylor actually
gives them the opportunity.
Yeah, and then Taylor's actually the week after Noah. So Taylor's going to have a follow-up episode, which will be cool.
That's fantastic, man.
It's awesome.
Good deal. I like, they're really about the family on the show. So that's great.
It's great.
All right. Well, let's move on to it. We've still got more show left, though.
You sure do. Yeah, we actually have some exciting news to share because here in Chicago, the weekend of April 21st to the 23rd is the annual Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, otherwise known as C2E2 around these parts, which you can actually check out and buy tickets for at C2E2.com. Why should you buy tickets? Because that guy over there, Mr. Aaron, and I, the Dum Dum, will be hosting a panel here talking about, you guessed it, all things Blacklist. And as of today, one Mr. John Bokenkamp will also be part of that panel as well. Now, we don't have our exact time slot or day of the weekend yet, but we wanted to make sure we get a big crowd there. So we're letting you guys know ahead of time. So start saving some cash, make some plans. And if you're going to be coming, let us know in the Facebook group, on Twitter, drop us the email, feedback@goldenspiralmedia.com. Let us know you're coming in advance and we'll make it a giant party that weekend. Again, Chicago weekend, April 21st to the 23rd. It'll be a treat for all of you. So be there. C2E2.com for tickets, and we'll update you as soon as we have more information.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That'll be fun.
That'll be great. It'll be right after Redemption ends and the final six come back, final six, seven for the rest of the season. So it'll be a great kind of kickoff spring weekend conversation. It'll be a blast.
And once we do have more details and exactly know what the date and times are, we will let you guys know ASAP. But the show's not over, so don't go anywhere. But please remember to download the Blacklist Exposed app for iOS and Android, and be sure to go even deeper into the mystery of Red Reddington by visiting our partner Blacklist site, theblacklistnbc.com. With that, we'll be right back with Red's Rhetoric right after this. Are you sick of the endless, poorly realized remakes as we are? Then take a listen to Remake This Movie Right, where we take a classic movie, figure out what works and what doesn't, throw a dash of humor at it, and then we craft our own remake. So by the end of every episode, we will remake this movie right. Recently featured as a podcast to listen to by the AV Club, you can find us at RemakeThisMovieRight.com or your podcast app of choice. Every movie you love will get a remake someday, and only you can make it better.
Hi, it's Megan Boone, and you're listening to Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
Welcome to Red's Rhetoric, that part of the show where we play two scenes from this week's episode, and then you get to vote which one you think is better over at theblacklistexposed.com. Just look for the post for the harem. Last week, 71% of you felt that words are more powerful than guns, as Red Friend won last week. No surprise there. Our first clip this week comes when Red is looking to navigate a deal.
I'll be blunt, Mr. Wilson. Whistler Cruise Line is sinking. The band is on deck and warming up. Nearer, my God, to thee.
We're having some difficulties.
Running aground on endangered coral reefs, E. coli at the buffet, sailing half-empty ships. Your difficulties are about to land you in bankruptcy court.
How on earth did you hear about that?
Have you ever been to Mont Saint-Michel, Tidal Island in Normandy? The only way in or out used to be a causeway that disappeared at high tide. To reach the other side was a matter of knowing when the tide came in and seizing the opportunity before it arrived.
I'm afraid I don't follow.
I'm offering you a causeway, Carter. I bail you out, you transport my cargo.
What kind of cargo?
Could be Dutch tulip bulbs to New York, ghost guns from Danau. But instead of hypotheticals, allow me to assure you that plausible deniability is the best option. I save your business. You don't look too closely at mine.
Our second clip comes when Red shares a story about Kaplan's sister.
Years ago, a Wisconsin housewife named Maureen Rowan was outside in the wee hours with the family dog, Dodger. Absolutely frigid. No one in the right mind would have been out in that kind of bitter cold. And if not for Dodger's aging bladder, I imagine Maureen would have been fast asleep. But as fate would have it, her neighbor, Alexei Lagunov, the Avtoritiet of a Russian Bratva, felt given the late hour and wind chill, he and his Bayeviks could move a body from his basement to the trunk of an associate's car without being observed. They didn't count on Dodger's call to nature. So Maureen had a choice between remaining silent or doing the right thing. She chose to testify. And while she helped to bring Alexei Lagunov to justice, she also forfeited the rest of her life in doing so. She's on that list.
Who is she to you?
Maureen Rowan is Kate's sister, Mr. Kaplan's sister. I didn't need to find her. I just needed to make sure no one else can.
Which was your favorite this week? If you can navigate the shipping lanes, vote hashtag red tide. Or if you would do what's right in the bitter cold of night, vote hashtag red dog.
Now let's see what all you special agents thought of this week's episode. Priscilla. Thought, good episode. Loved it. That last scene with Liz and Red. Loved it.
I did too. Tiffany said, God, I forgot how much badass Liz rocked. I miss my strong lead female. Anybody else willing to bet that Mr. Kaplan killed Mr. Small and made it look like a heart attack?
No, that's...
I think everybody thinks that.
Yeah, I think everybody thinks that. I'll actually be surprised if it's not Kaplan.
That'd be great. That'd be a nice twist.
Kira, loved it. Love seeing Jill Hennessy as a great blacklister. Only wish she'd sang. Did she sing?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. What a great smoky voice. Love seeing Red, Liz, and Dembe in that last scene about Kate. Yeah, except I still think Red and Dembe should have tussled. Love seeing badass Liz in action, not only on her own, but also profiling and physically. With the FBI Mindhunter crack has me convinced, Margot knew Liz was an undercover agent. You think so? You think Margot knew?
She wouldn't have let her play it along that long.
I don't think so. I wouldn't think.
It was interesting, though. That's a good question. I have to ponder that.
She did throw out the FBI profiler thing.
She did. She's got like those Jedi mind tricks, like those FBI. That's a. I don't know. I'll have to go back and watch it and see if there's any tells or ticks or anything. Also, the whole Red and Dembe tussle, I think that's going to be Aaron's Liz and Cooper tussle for me.
Yeah, because you think they should have had a fight, and I think Red and Dembe should have had a...
Yep.
Yep. I'm with you. Hey, I'm not with you because you don't see it that way, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Dum-dum. You get it.
I get it. Ella said, I love this episode. It's my favorite of the season so far. I was excited to see Undercover Liz. I thought it was great and that Megan played it really well. I thought Emma was a great character, and I loved the mystery around her. It was interesting what she said about feeling like you're the center of Red's world. I feel like that will be important to remember for later. The weirdest and most shocking part for me was the bathroom scene. It took me a minute to process what was actually happening in that.
Not me. I got that one right away. I'm like, oh, yeah.
The ending scene.
Sorry. Yeah. Once again, shameless man.
Shameless man. The ending scene with Red, Liz, and Dembe. At least you're honest. That's a good thing. The ending scene with Red, with Liz, Red, and Dembe was great, especially Red's story. I'm kind of surprised that Liz wasn't more angry toward Red. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't read punctuation at all today.
That's okay. Reading is stupid.
I'm kind of surprised that Liz wasn't more angry toward Red. Overall, I'm happy that we've had two really solid episodes. Hopefully the rest are just as great.
Yeah. I think the reason why you don't see Liz more angry with Red is that she's processed that she gets why it happened. She's just not happy that it happened. So I don't think it's so much anger as disappointment and frustration, because I think she knew it was a possibility. Now she knows the truth and she has to deal with that. So right now it's just, she's just kind of short with him. And people are like, well, now she's just having an attitude with Red again. Da, da, da. You know, I get that.
Well, I thought she was kind of angry in that initial conversation.
Well, like, and at the beginning, when she comes in there.
You just whacked her, too. Just like you whacked Mr. Kaplan. Like, what the hell's wrong with you? To me, it seemed like she was angry. And then she kind of toned it down a little bit.
Dialed it back a little.
Well, and she was making some very big assumptions in that conversation, too. Like, she literally came in and said, oh, you probably just whacked Emma and knocked her off and stole the witch checklist for yourself. Because that's what Red do. And then, bam, here we have Red doing something out of the ordinary.
Okay. Annalise, I hope I said that right. I like Liz a lot. When Liz goes undercover is always good. Did not like, however, the story of Emma and Red. An analyst from MI6 that Red ruined her family, making Red look like a jerk. I really did not see the point of her storyline except to give Liz more reasons to dislike Red. ETA, Dembe's confession to Liz that Red killed Kate was sure over fast with a simple line from Red. I understand. I was expecting more, much more development. Still am. I will say that your first point, making Red look like a jerk, he's a bad guy.
He is a criminal.
He's an absolute jerk. He's charming, but he's a freaking killer. He's not like a hero or anything. So he is a jerk. He's just charming and you like him. I get it. I'm sure there's a lot of murderous, evil bastards we would want to hang out with and have a beer with. He doesn't make them good people.
He's literally wooed you, Annalise, and made you the center of his universe.
Yep.
Just watch your back.
And I'm with you on the Dembe thing. I do think it should have been a little bit deeper, but what are you going to do?
Julie said, loved it. Best episode this season by 1,000,000%.
What? By 1,000,000%? That's a lot.
Well, that's because I own 100%. It's trademarked. Always find that I enjoy the episodes when Liz gets an opportunity to stand on her own. And of course, there was more screen time with Spader. The two combined make an awesome episode. Notice the similarity to the Naomi episode and Emma using the same wording and terminology. Red makes you feel like you're the center of the world. You have to let her go, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, top marks this week.
That's true. And Crystal, holy crap, there's a lot more. Sorry, I guess I should have scrolled. I try not to read these until we actually do the podcast, so it's fresh. Crystal, I love this episode. The harem was cool and interesting. The highlight was Liz. I loved her character this episode. She was smart and capable and showed badass undercover Liz. Whatever is coming Red's way has me excited. Somebody beating Red at the deal was a rare occurrence on the Blacklist. This should be fun. I love the personal moment with Red and Liz. The story of Mr. Kaplan's sister was told beautifully by Red. So happy they didn't play Gordon Lightfoot at the end, so Dembe is safe for now.
It's become the trademark. I love it.
That's funny.
Gordon Lightfoot. Rachel Towns, I love the episode, and I was apprehensive at first. I think it sets us up for the next big problem in Red's life, which I also think is the wrath of Kate. Red was right. The heart attack was no accident, and because Kate knows so much about him, it will be hard to find out a ghost is trying to bring you down. I knew he wanted the list for some reason, but never would have thought for who it was for. Overall, great episode by all the characters.
This was not a boating accident. Douglas said, I absolutely love this episode. Lizzie is finally becoming the badass that was hinted at since the pilot episode, the way she was finally put Red in his place without coming off whiny or petulant.
Love it. Loyalty.
Oh, wait, hashtag, where's the Lizzie Megan haters now?
Good one, Doug. Good one. Neil said, loyalty stressed even more in this episode. I agree. It is the big theme this season.
Pauline, here's one of my takeaways from the episode. Red did it all to keep Mr. Kaplan's sister safe. I'm sensing a lot of regret in Red right now. I think he's really regretting what he did to Kate. Well, he should. He shot her in the face. But things have settled down now. All the craziness with Kirk saving Agnes, etc. has passed. And I think that he's realizing just what he did to a very loyal and loving friend.
Got it. Glenn, more new questions than answers. But what else do we expect? The show was a foot in the door of the new big bad who will make themselves completely known by the end of the season and not be resolved until next season if the show stays true to its form.
And finally,
I don't know about that necessarily. I think they could wrap this up by February 23rd for the next break and then start a whole new thing for the April to May episodes, potentially.
Are you done talking or do you want me to
wait until you
ramble some more? You sure?
Yep.
I'm going to give you some more time if you want. We'll find out. We'll find out, Glenn. Sue wrote a book report, so I'm going to read some of it. Kaplan is not the one after him, but it must be said, we had Berlin. We need new stuff. You don't know that. It might be Kaplan.
It might be.
I think she's saying that that's the predictable, easy answer, and she thinks there's more to it.
Correct.
I kind of wish the money amount left in Limbo would have been mentioned. Yeah, I agree with that. Also, why is no one mentioning...
Sue, it was $5.
That's how much it costs to buy a cruise line? $5, I'll buy one myself. Also, why is no one mentioning Red's ties to the MI6? Too ludicrous? He said to Liz, why do you assume my only ties to intelligence is to the FBI?
I was waiting this whole time to say this. He said, your government, twice in this episode. Twice. Just pointing that out there.
And why do you take from that? Because some people might not have heard your argument before.
Well, the your government thing ties into either A, the fact that he's not from the U.S. The whole imposter theory comes up. The mother theory comes up. It all kind of fits in with those thoughts and concepts. So Aaron still believes that your government means that the fact that he defected from the U.S. so it's not really his country anymore because his country betrayed him or something like that. Either way, it was brought up twice this episode. Just want to call that out.
Okay. He said, we already said that. Too funny. So we have Red tied to MI6. If true, he would not need the FBI. I wouldn't agree with that.
Well, no, so in that scene, though, because that scene made it sound like Liz interpreted that Red was MI6 or part of MI6. I think she worked at MI6 and Red just found her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I have informants all around the world. So I don't think he was MI6 particularly.
Yeah, I think he worked out a deal. That's what Emma even said.
Right.
So that's just his obsession with Liz. MI6 could have led him to Berlin with a whole lot less angst. So we have Red tied to MI6. We have a badass Liz who could no more go undercover than, say, me. But I do. Okay. Well, that is, I guess if you think about it, she was all over the news. So you do kind of, I didn't even think about that.
That's so true.
My God, we are dumb. We are both dumb.
Wow.
Because that's a great point.
The lady who is nobody finds her in the grocery store because of the news, and yet these people don't watch the news at all.
That's a great point. Oh, that's a great point. But I do love her less makeup look. Though those on the main page prefer her made up to the gills. I agree, man. I just think she's a beautiful person, so you don't really need to do much to her. She has natural beauty. You don't need to doll her up, so to speak.
Agree.
And I hate that term. It's just the easiest way to say it. I love the chicks. I wish they could have stayed around or more, go into their own show. They were awesome. The lesbo scene, I didn't say it, Sue said it. Not needed, but it is 2017, and this is the year of that. I don't know what that means. I mean, gay women have been around for a while.
They have.
They got their own organizations and stuff. So our Red has an unnamed but horrid outfit out to take him down. Again, we had that. I think Red is going to reach out to Susan Hargrave via Tom to help him suss out the bad guys. Oh, he already used the FBI to suss out Berlin.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good way to switch it off.
Sue's paying more attention than we are. I'm just saying.
Clearly.
Yeah. Can you let us know exactly? Did Emma plan on stealing that list, or did Red hire her to play? Because that's where we have some debate. Tom is going to Redemption with appearances by Red and Liz. Oh, is that going to happen? Are they going to both appear on Redemption?
I don't know.
To help Red and further his own agenda, Red already sees what Dembe was up to. Red thinks he killed Kate and is feeling angst. Red is Red and not a chick or some other Joe Blow on the block, and he has not been monitoring Liz for 30-plus years to jump her bones.
Sue's very animated this week.
Wow.
She's like throwing everybody's theory under the bus.
So that happened. All right. I just want to point out, I just read that. I didn't write any of that.
That's true. That is true. But she did pay more attention than we did. She's on the news. How do you not know who she is?
It's not so much paying attention. It's just that was one thing where I didn't even think about it. I'm like, she had to be all over the news for the last God knows how long. So, yeah, good call. But you know what? I have friends that don't know anything about what's going on in the news. You know, I have friends that I'm sort of shocked to know who our president is now. So there are people that don't pay attention.
And when he says friends, he means me, because if it's not on a podcast, I don't know what's happening.
This is true.
I do. Yep. I do listen to news related podcasts, but I might get to them 2 weeks later.
Sometimes if I want him to know something, I'll actually say it on another podcast so I know he'll pay attention.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. Because he doesn't watch the news.
I do not. Do not at all.
All right. I think it's going to do it, man. Is there anything else in this episode you want to talk about?
No, I think we've come to the end, and really glad to see some fun episodes here for this doldrum of winter here in the Northern Hemisphere. So yeah, I keep it going like this. I think I said it before the break. I want to go back to that season one creepy blacklister, interesting story. I don't need to really get into the mythology right now. Save the mythology for the last 6 to 7. I think this is just fun right now. It's fun, and it'll be very interesting to see how it transitions out, especially seeing the trailer this morning.
I'm actually more intrigued with how they're going to tie everything into Redemption and tie it out of Redemption.
Exactly. Yeah,
I'm really curious how that's going to play. That's going to conclude this episode, guys. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at The Blacklist GSM, where we live tweet during the East Coast feed, and we use the show's hashtag, The Blacklist.
Don't forget to follow us on Tumblr, Instagram, and join our Facebook group. Just search for The Blacklist Exposed. Talk about the show, the podcast, or share your favorite pole dancing routine.
You can also subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or listen from the website. But if you're really on the go, like we always are, make sure you download our app for iOS or Android, powered by Spreaker. You also find all the intel and analysis about this episode for The Harem by visiting theblacklistexposed.com. Big thanks for listening, and please don't forget to answer our profiling question of the week: who is trying to start the war with Red?
Thanks so much for listening, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, about.me/Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter at @H_Outsider. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
the Blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.